In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's message, the church is screaming to us, calling us to hope for things that are much above us. Nowadays, when you ask people what their dreams are, what their aspirations are, what are the things that you hope for? Unfortunately, for a lot of us, it's stuff that is very trivial, meaningless. Sometimes they're very foolish things. Today, the church desires to lift our minds to great and to heavenly things. If you think about the things that we're hoping for, many of us, we hope for that day where we can retire and go home. And we have our hopes, and some of us from a young age just can't wait to retire. And we have dreams of what we're going to do when we retire. When you get to retirement, maybe you realize, I'm just sitting at home, I'm not doing anything, it's almost boring. You almost can discover how empty life might be. It's a false hope. Others hope for change in our country. Whenever we have a new election, we hope for change and change and change. We hope and we hope and we hope to discover that over a little time, things might even be getting worse. We have hope and hope and hope, and hopes end up going nowhere. We hope for peace among countries that have been fighting with each other since the days of David and Goliath. And we hope and we hope and we pray and we think that this might happen. These are all false hopes. We all hope for financial success, that we could fulfill our dreams of having big homes and fancy cars. Also, that when you get this financial success, you end up buying things that are bigger and greater than what you can afford. That ends up, you end up in debt and stress, and it just ends up false hope. You hoped for things that at the end of the day got you into more trouble. In today's Pauline epistle, St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. He says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." St. Paul is saying, we pray that you abound in hope. I want you to hope for things, hope for the power of the Holy Spirit, hope for big and great things. And again, St. Peter in the Catholic Epistle says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." God in His abundant mercy begotten us. He gave us hope. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That hope to be with Him, that hope to experience Him. Have you found contentment with Him? Have you met Him? Have you experienced Him? You ask the people that have met Christ or have seen God face to face and lived, their lives were never lived the same again. Moses the prophet, when he climbed the mountain, went up there and he received the Ten Commandments. It says when he came down, his face was shining, that he had to cover his face because the people could not look into his face because it was so bright. This is one who has encountered God. This is one who has met God. Could you discover that God is living in you yet? Could you discover that? So what is it that God desires for us to hope for? Well, in today's gospel, Christ's disciples said, "Teach us how to pray like John's disciples, like John taught his disciples." And we know that he taught them the Our Father prayer, and he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Today I want to focus on "thy kingdom come." This is a prayer that we pray 10, 15 times in a span of 2 hours in a liturgy. And I think many of us don't really fully understand what this meaning is, what this means that when Christ says, "Thy kingdom come," He wants us to pray over and over and over again, "Thy kingdom come." Does this just mean that one day we hope the world's an end so that we can go to heaven and be with God? Does this mean that we look forward for the day that we die so that we can be in the kingdom of God with Him? Are we just looking for death? Is that what we're looking for when we say, "Thy kingdom come"? I believe that God means something much deeper than that. Almost all of Christ's parables and teachings talk about His kingdom, and they even compare it to the treasure in which a man sells all that he has, that he would get this treasure of the kingdom of God. I know that God wants us to experience something much deeper than just the world to end, or for us to one day be in His kingdom in heaven after we die. We know over and over again, St. John the Baptist and Christ keep on saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So the kingdom of God is here. Where is it? We've been here waiting for 2,000 years. Where is your kingdom, Lord? And then he goes on. He even tells the disciples, the kingdom of God is among them. That the kingdom of God is within you. This means that we can't just define His kingdom to some other world, to some other time far from now. His kingdom, the fathers of the church describe it as an encounter with God. When we say, "Thy kingdom come," we are praying, we're saying, "Lord, I want to meet You," that when I meet You and I encounter God, I would recognize His divinity and His glory and His beauty and His holiness, that it would cause me with joy and love to want to give my whole life to Him. I wonder how many of us have truly encountered God. Because like I said, when you meet God, your life will never be the same. You can't live life the same anymore. You can't talk the way that you talk. You can't buy the things that you buy or focus on making the plans or hoping for the things that you hope for, having met Christ. When you meet Christ, you say, "All I want is You, and I will find contentment in only You." But we're not satisfied. Yeah, we met Christ, and we pray, and we come to church, and we do what we have to do, but at the end of the day, we're still not satisfied. "Lord, give me this, and give me that, and if I just had this, or if I just had that." I hate to break it to you, but maybe you haven't met God. If you've met Christ, your life should never be the same. So what are we really praying for? What is Christ teaching us to hope for? The kingdom of God is when my life is filled to the brim with His light, with His knowledge, with His love. The way that we love today, it's a selfish love. It's not His love. When I love in order to get some love back. Or I'll love if this person shows love to me first. That wasn't Christ. Christ loved to the very end. He loved and gave, even washed the feet of the disciples at a point when He knew that one was going to deny Him and one was going to betray Him. That same evening. Love that expects nothing in return. It's a selfless love. Is Christ love in your heart or not? Have you encountered Christ? Have you recognized His divinity and come to the point where you say, "My life will never be the same"? We pray that this encounter would take place here and now. Thy kingdom come now. I want to encounter God now. I want to see Him face to face. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to be holy and set apart for God. I want to live only for His kingdom. I only want to do what brings Him glory. In the analogies of the prayer that Christ gave us, after He told us about the Our Father, He says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And He goes on and says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Here he's talking about if a son is asking his father for the basic necessities of life. I need these things for my sustenance. I need these things to live. He says, if you then, being evil. Now, are we evil? Compared to God's holiness, maybe we are. If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Your main sustenance, what's going to keep you alive, the necessity of your life is the Holy Spirit. That you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read what it is that these men in the Bible that were filled with the Holy Spirit, what they could do, the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 17, describes the disciples as men who turned the world upside down. They turned the world upside down because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible intentionally describes the disciples as untrained, uneducated men. They were foolish, regular, average day Joes. But because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they could do supernatural things. We have examples in the Bible of full families that were filled with the Holy Spirit. You have Zacharias, the priest, who after John the Baptist was born, he said this great prayer and prophecy. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When St. Mary, after she received the Annunciation, she went to go visit Elizabeth, that when she spoke to Elizabeth and she greeted her, it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know very well that St. John the Baptist himself was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a full family that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, moms, dads, kids, could you say that your whole family is filled with the Holy Spirit? Filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, that God is oozing out of your eyes and your ears and your mouth? I wonder what this church would be like if every single person in here was filled with the Holy Spirit like those men were in the upper room. After they went out around, they turned the world upside down. So what does God expect of us? Does He want us just to come, say our prayers, do our thing and go home and live life the same? If that's the case, you are not meeting God here. I don't know what it is that you're meeting, but you're not encountering God. The person that encounters God says, all I want in Him, all I can live by is Him. I don't hope for anything else but that my life would be filled with Him. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to know Christ. And we know elsewhere in the Bible, it says, no one gets to the Father but by me. So no one gets to know God the Father except for Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit gathers us into fellowship and union with the Holy Trinity, that you would be one with the Trinity through the work of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Do you long to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you hope that one day you would be filled with the Holy Spirit? That everywhere you go, that place would be blessed. Every time you speak, you would be uttering things that cannot be uttered because it is the Holy Spirit that is speaking through you. How about when trial comes? When trial comes your way or adversity comes your way, how do you respond? Do you react? Or does the Holy Spirit react through you? Somebody comes and is annoying you or bothering you or attacking you or doing something to displease you in some way. How do you respond? Do you respond? Or is it the Holy Spirit living in you, teaching you how to respond? The decisions that you make, the things that you hope for, it should be the one that is filled with the Holy Spirit is desiring to do and to fulfill the purposes of the Holy Spirit. What are these purposes? It is a command by God that we would go and that we would be the lights of the world. Are you the light of the world? Are you the light of your house? Are you the light of your marriage? Are you the light at your work? Are you the light in your service? Are you the light everywhere you go? Are you the light of the world? Be careful. Christ described Himself. He says, I am the light of the world in one part of the Bible. Later on, he says, you are the light of the world. You are to be like him in this world. But you can't do it without being filled with the Holy Spirit. We must aspire and we must hope and beg the Lord that we could be filled to the brim with His light, with His knowledge, that we would love selflessly. That is the characteristic of one who is overflowing with His Holy Spirit. That you would experience a life of signs and wonders. Here throughout the reading, it talks about they were experiencing that being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were working signs and wonders. Do you experience signs and wonders in your life? Could it possibly be that God Himself is living in you and He is alive in you and you're not experiencing supernatural living? Could it possibly be that you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you are not seeing signs and wonders every day? I can't imagine that's the case. My fear is that we've quenched the Holy Spirit. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as a fire. That you would have this living fire inside of you. But sometimes we put out that fire because of our passions. Because of insisting on my way, on my rights, on the way that I decide to live. I have the right to do this, and why can't I enjoy life, and why can't I do this? Couldn't have possibly encountered God and said those words. You couldn't have met Christ face to face and gone back to just live a normal life. It can't happen that way. You should be overflowing with His Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit will send you to do His work like He did to the apostles. In two different places in the reading, it talks about St. Paul was sent by the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit push you in His direction? Do you feel that the Holy Spirit is using you for God's glory? That the Holy Spirit sends you, I need you to go meet this person, to be a light to this person. I need you. In this situation, you are going to be a source of God's presence. You are going to be filled with power and with wisdom. And through you, I'm going to perform signs and wonders. That's the life that is overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God Himself living in you and living through you. That it is no longer you who lives, but it is Christ that is living in you. It is God Himself that is carrying out every action through your life. Here in the liturgy, we say, may your Holy Spirit, and I repeat this over and over again, descend upon us and upon these gifts as a manifestation of your presence in your saints. That we would be changed, that we would be purified, that we would be just like, transformed just like this bread is into body, that we would be made holy. Today is a Pentecost. Today is your time to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you want it. He's saying, as a father, as you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Father know how to give you the best gift, that you would be filled with His Holy Spirit? All you got to do is ask. He says, to those who ask Him, do you want to be filled? Do you want that supernatural life? Do you want to experience the signs and wonders and the glory of God? Pray to the Holy Spirit and say, Thy kingdom come. That I would encounter God, that I would meet Him, and that I would desire to never live my life the same. I pray that each and every one of you can meet God face to face and see His glory. That you would say, Khalas, it's no longer I who live, but He who lives in me. And glory be to God forever. Amen.